They've had a long day today. Well, I hope you'll turn back in your Bible to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. You know, Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah in the Old Testament, pictured God's faithfulness as faithful as the rising of the sun. And aren't you grateful, even on a cloudy day like this, that on the other side of the clouds, the sun is shining? Amen? And you know, it's interesting. I remember I was a grown-up. I was an adult, boys and girls, before I ever flew on an airplane. Now, a lot of y'all have already done that. But I remember the first time I got on an airplane, it was cloudy outside. From what you could tell on this side of the clouds, it was like the sun wasn't even shining. Till all of a sudden, that jet airplane broke through the clouds, and the sun was as bright as ever. Today, let's endeavor to never, ever forget that the faithfulness of God is never dimmed. The faithfulness of God shines brighter than the morning star. The faithfulness of God never ceases. Lamentations, Jeremiah wrote this, Lamentations chapter 3. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The psalmist declared, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Psalm 20, verse 7. Paul wrote to his younger friend in the ministry, Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. We must always remember that God is faithful. Let's read the scriptures again, but let's stand together. Let's stand together as the people of God have done for generations past. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, let's look at these five verses again. Listen to them. He says, finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as happened among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not all have faith, but, say it with me, the Lord is faithful. And listen to what he's going to do. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command. Now here's a prayer. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God, to the steadfastness of Christ. Father, thank you for your word. It endures forever. Lord, long after a man's words have been heard and then forgotten, your word, the Bible says, still endures. Lord, I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful, Lord, that I don't have to search aimlessly for the right thing to say. But that, Lord, for each and every one of us today, we can remember this, that when push comes to shove, Lord, may our position always be in your word. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for just the right words today. Lord, you know how I have needed them. God, thank you. Thank you for being so willing to get so close. Lord God, thank you for these brothers and sisters. Lord, I am so thankful for them. But most of all, Lord, today we give thanks for our salvation, which the Lord Jesus provided, purchased for us. So, Lord God, if we dare to dwell too much on ourselves, God, forgive us. May we quickly fix our gaze back upon you, Lord Jesus. So, Lord Jesus, I pray this in your name. Amen. God bless you. Have a seat. I just want to walk you through this passage of Scripture. Next week, we'll have parent-child dedication. Be praying for those families. We'll be leading in that service. As Pastor Derek said also, remember, the Lord's work is urgently upon us. I pray that you'll consider how you can be a part of Amelia Days next Saturday, this coming Saturday. Be in prayer as our children, as our youth are gathering and gearing up. Guys, I'm so excited for these young men who are leading the way, getting ready to go to Bangladesh, and many others that are getting ready to mission service. Parkway, listen, you are experiencing a movement of God that perhaps just might begin to turn back the tide. Let me just pick on these young men for just a moment. I am so excited about all of what God is doing in our midst. But just today, since it was mentioned by Derek, guys, I'm excited for you and the fact that, you know, just the other year, I remember hearing how so many, particularly of our young men, were just kind of sitting back. Maybe you've read, you know, there have been these studies being done out there in culture talking about how really they're, you know, how young men aren't growing up. They're just staying boys. I tell you what, it blesses my heart and soul, and a story that we ought not to take for granted is this, that God is raising up some mighty men of valor. He's been doing that. He is doing that. He's going to keep doing that. And today, our focus, the renewal of our faith in the Lord, the revival of our spirits today should be driven by what we're going to hear today. If nothing more, just that simple phrase, the Lord is faithful. Amen? He's so, so faithful. Just listen to Paul as he writes to this church that he was a part of helping to start, and listen to his words. He says, finally, brothers, pray for us. He calls them brothers. They are his family, and you are our family. We are a church family. I remember early on, I would refer to Parkway Baptist Church as a Parkway family, even our website, parkwayfamily.org. And I remember on occasion, people every now and then would say, well, you know, if you're really a family, how come this is the way it happens sometimes? It's not like everybody's always getting along, or even though y'all do a pretty good job of that, or everybody's always loving each other just the way they should. And I kind of quipped one time, hey, what family did you grow up in? Just remember for a moment what it means to be family. It means this: we've been adopted into the family of God. We've been born again into the kingdom of God. It means this, that we're blood kin. We must never forget, church family, that we are blood related. We have been bought by the blood of Jesus. We are family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. He says, finally, brothers, pray for us. Paul was never ashamed to ask people to pray for him. That's what I've asked you to do today. That's what you should ask one another to do. Pray. Pray. Now, he was always quick to pray for them. You've seen that in the past few weeks. He's praying for these folks. They're on his heart. Church family should always be on the pastor's heart. This brother is an example to me and the others. He prayed for them. You can feel his love through the pages of Scripture. But then, in the midst of that, he's not ashamed to say, hey, pray for us. And I think of Paul, I always thought of him being, you know, so strong and so courageous and so fearless. Yet, understand where that comes from. Young men getting ready to go to the other side of the world, understand where that comes from. That comes from the empowerment of Almighty God. And don't ever forget that. Let's never, ever forget that our strength comes from the Lord. We need prayer. He asks for it. But he doesn't ask selfishly. Notice why he asks for it. He says, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored. Oh, he says, pray for the messenger, but oh, pray for the message. It wasn't a selfish prayer request. He really wanted them to pray because he was so consumed with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ getting out there to the world. He says, pray for us. He says, pray for us that the word of the Lord, he says, may speed ahead. That is the picture there in Scripture of a runner, of a jogger running as fast as he can or she can to get out there. It is the picture of the word of the Lord even getting out there in front of the Apostle Paul. You know, it got me to thinking. The Apostle Paul knew what it was back then to try to get somewhere quick. Well, what would he do? He'd probably ride a horse. He even knew what it was to take a ship to try to get to some place quick. But I tell you what he probably couldn't have imagined is when the train was invented. You know what the train did? The train began to make it possible for us to more quickly take the gospel, the word of the Lord, to the western states. He couldn't have imagined when an automobile was invented. You think about that, how that has changed things. This summer, our church family will see in the neighborhood of right around, 150 now? We're having, for Infuse, we're having to like wait list students now, because it's like we'll get in automobiles, buses, or some type of automobile, and they will head out with the word of the Lord. What he must not have, could have never imagined was this, what we've experienced so many times, and that is seeing brothers and sisters in Christ get on a jet airplane and to take the word of the Lord to the uttermost parts of the earth. Oh, listen, when he says, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead, do you see how God has been answering our prayers? And he says that it may be honored, that it may be honored, and I love this part, as happened among you. Oh, church family, I tell you what, Parkway, thank you for honoring God's word. Thank you for being so devoted to take God's word out there to our neighbors and the nations and all generations. God's word is honored in this place. Pray for the message. Pray for the messenger. And you know, and as I think about Paul, they're saying, pray for us. I just can't help but think about what a blessed man I am. This is a wonderful place to preach. And I just can't help but be moved to ask you to pray for so many brothers out there who this morning, here at this hour, they're in the middle of their sermon. And you know what? They may be worn out, beaten up. They may be downcast. They may have something going on in their life that is just disrupting them. And they may have a spiritual battle. Oh, today I ask you, church, pray for the messengers of the word of the Lord. And church, let's guard what we have here. Let's guard what we have here. Let's always be such a blessed place to share the message, the word of the Lord. Oh, he talks with these folks like they're his family. I'm so thankful for you, so privileged that we get to walk with the Lord, that we get to know that we are forever family. Then listen to what he says in verse 2. Look at that. He says, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. That's just something there I want to point out to you, church. Understand this. Not everybody is going to stand up and applaud a gospel-preaching, world-reaching church. You need to know that. There will be people out there, perhaps there may be some folks out there next week. Hey, as long choir, as you sing some nice Mickey Mouse get-along songs, nobody's going to have a problem with that, all right? As long as you give away some nice stuff and do some fun stuff for the kids, no one will probably have any problem for that. But listen, when you preach the gospel, when you proclaim the gospel, and you start reaching the lost and start seeing life saved, you just look out. Because not everybody is a fan of the gospel-preaching, world-reaching church. And so, church, I tell you, you just stay focused. Let's stay focused in our prayers. Because look at verse 3. The Lord is faithful. Amen. Just take note of just four ways. I'm just pointing out four ways to see the Lord is so faithful. And it's very easy to do. First of all, I just wanted to point out to you today that the Lord is so faithful in prospering His Word. The Lord is faithful in prospering His Word. I tell you what, it is amazing to me to sit back and ever, just right now as I stand up here, as my eyes just land on certain people in here, and I won't call out names because that wouldn't be right and that wouldn't be fair and that wouldn't be polite, but as my eyes just land on different people today, I just cannot help but in my spirit rejoice at how I've seen the Word of the Lord prosper in so many lives. It's one of the things that brings me great hope and great joy is to know that the word of the Lord will continue, because God is faithful, to prosper in your lives. Listen to what he's asked them to pray, and he prays with confidence that the word of the Lord is going to speed ahead and be honored. You know what? Even when Paul was in prison, he knew God was going to be faithful in prospering the word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, he writes, "For which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal." He was in prison, all right? He's in prison, shackled. Listen to what he says, though. "But the word of God is not bound." When Paul was thrown into prison, what did he see that as? He saw that as an opportunity for the word of the Lord to prosper. What did he do? He just started preaching to the prison guard. When he looked across the jail cells and he saw other prisoners there in their shackles and in their jail cells, he simply saw that he had a captive audience to share the word of the Lord with. Oh, God is faithful in prospering His Word. He's faithful in prospering His word. I'll tell you, secondly, look at what He says. He says, He'll establish you and guard you against the evil one. Mark this down, church. God is faithful in protecting His people. God is faithful in protecting His people. He says there in verse 3, the Lord is faithful. He'll establish you and guard you against the evil one. Two ways that the Lord protects us. He establishes us and He guards us. Now, what does it mean to establish? That is literally the idea of Him strengthening us by giving us roots that go deep down in the ground. Folks, that's why it is so critically important for us to be in Bible study with one another. It is so important for us to hear a Bible preacher. That is why it is so important for us to be grounded in the Word of God. That word established, it literally comes from a Greek word that we get our English word steroid. This thought occurred to my mind. I'll tell you guys this little metaphor that came to my mind in the services today. I didn't write it down, but it occurred to me today as I was preaching and thinking about that, how I've gone to the gym a few times, and Mike, I was thinking about you, you know, and we'll go there, and we talk about, you see these young guys there, man, you know, right in the prime of that muscle building age, you know, and they're just, it's like they can lift a little bit of weight and exercise for a little bit of time, and it's like, boom, they just develop the muscles, you know. It's because they got all them God-given chemicals just coursing through their veins. I told Mike one time, I said, I need a shot or something, man. I need some chemical help. I'll be 42 this summer. It just doesn't come as easy. Listen to me, church. Man, you know what you have, what we have in the Word of God, what you ought to cherish as a follower of Jesus is this. Is the Word of God is so sufficient to strengthen us and to build us. Oh, God is faithful in grounding us. And then he says this. He says He'll guard us. He's going to guard us. That is a military word. It literally means that military troops surround you and guard you. Oh, God's faithful in protecting His people. You know, we need to understand, don't forget, church, you're in a battle, all right? We've been in a battle. Just every now and then, you know, the rockets kind of silence a little bit and don't feel as much as a battle, but we're in a battle. We're not home yet, church. It's not peacetime yet. We're in a spiritual war. And understand this. This is what can happen on the battlefield. You know what a tragedy in battle is? This is when someone is taken out by friendly fire. And, oh, church, be guarded. The Holy Spirit needs to guard us. No friendly fire accidents. And then we need to know that the enemy's engaged. That's the picture He's painting here. But He says, but don't forget, church, even in the midst of hardship, even in the midst of uncertainty, understand this, He says, you will be established. You will be guarded. God is faithful in protecting His people. And then He says, and I love verse 4. He says, and we have confidence in the Lord about you that you're doing and will do the things that we command. That word command there, it's not the idea there when He says command of Paul saying, listen, I come up with the commands and I tell you and you do it. No, understand it. It is more of a word that's kind of in between. It's the idea of Paul saying, listen, I got commands and orders from the commander-in-chief, the general, and I'm just passing them on. It's like if you've ever seen on a history documentary about a war, particularly back like in the Civil War, something like that, or maybe a war movie. It's like the general would give out, like the cavalry days, the general would give out the order, but a sergeant would repeat the order. That's what Paul's saying he's been doing. Hey, listen, I've just been repeating the commands of Christ. Folks, that's all we've been doing here for the past 10 years, just repeating the commands of Christ. And here's where we have confidence. Our confidence, number one, is in the Lord, and it's about you, that you're doing and will do the things we command. That's why, number three, is this: God is faithful in promoting our maturity. He's going to promote our maturity. He's going to promote our growth as we're obedient to Him. Understand this, church. You're not an audience. You're an army. I was reminded of this early this morning. I got up extra early today. Just wanted to do what I could to kind of get prepared for the day. I was reading and praying and thinking over some things, internal computer, because I wanted to just wanted kind of to type out some stuff that was on my heart. And I opened up the email, and I noticed on there an email from Rodney and Dana. And in that email, Rodney and Dana Taylor, they were asking for volunteers to help with the Farmer for a Day children's activity at Amelia Day. And you know what? You know what hit me was this. Parkway is just doing what we've been doing and what we got to keep doing. It's simply the commands of Christ. And then he says this prayer in verse 5. He says, "May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ." He prays for God to direct them. And the fourth way that God is so faithful is this. God is faithful in providing us direction. I needed a Bible this morning, so I grabbed a Bible off the shelf, and it was Melissa's, my daughter's. And I started opening through it. The first thing, I was just amazed at how much stuff she's written down in there. And I just am so thankful for so many influences in her life for the Lord. But I noticed that she'd written out Jeremiah 29:11. And that caught my attention because she's written that out, and she hung that on her door. Just listen to that familiar verse. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." May the Lord, Paul prayed, direct your hearts. Simple prayer. We ought to pray this for one another often. May the Lord direct our hearts, number one, towards the love of God. And number two, to be steadfast in Christ. I want to close my message today reminding you of what the Marines say. I've always thought the Marine Corps is very interesting, and they've always had my admiration. The Marine Corps, as you know, they have this motto, Semper Fi, faithful. Always faithful. That should be our motto. It's a good motto for the followers of Christ to remember. Always faithful to the Lord. Always faithful to our calling. Always faithful to our families. Always faithful to Jesus. Sometimes that's challenged, though. Sometimes it can be challenging. We can have challenges to our faithfulness to the Lord. Reminds me of a story from history from the 1500s. The date to remember is October 16, 1555. Now, there was two men. One was a Protestant preacher. I wrote his name down. His name was Hugh Latimer. He's a preacher in England, and he had a friend. His friend's name was Nicholas Ridley. Well, what happened is they were convicted in court of preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. And so they were sentenced to death. They were told they were going to be burned at the stake on October 16, 1555. Well, listen to this. As they approached the stake, Mr. Ridley drew back in fear. Pastor Latimer noticed. Pastor Latimer, I wrote it down, comforted his friends with these words that we should never forget. "Be of good cheer, Master Ridley, and play the man, for we shall this day light such a candle in England as I trust by God's grace shall never be put out." And so they did light a candle, even with their own bodies. They gave testimony of their faith in the Lord. Parkway, you are a bright light in this community. Stoke the fire. The light must burn brighter. The lost are still in darkness. More than ever, be brothers and sisters in Christ. And may it be that our neighbors and the nations will see the light. Amen. Father, thank you for these loved ones. Lord, I pray today we will walk away remembering the sentence, "The Lord is faithful." In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to sing the song in Christ alone. I'd like to ask, though, they are such an encouragement to me, and they should be to you. Several of them have been in different services of the day. I want to ask, though, our leadership team, also those who serve on the pastoral support team, which would be like our deacon ministry team, and any of the adult Bible fellowship teachers that are in this service right now, I want to ask you all just to come and stand in the front, just to come and just stand together. Folks may want to just come. Some may be coming for make decisions. Hey, Pastor Mike, I'm going to ask you to come down front here. I want to ask the brethren just to come. Let's all stand, though, as we get ready to sing, and appreciate your prayers in the days ahead. Leadership, pastoral support, adult leaders, you come forward. Thank you all for your prayers and your support. Pastor Derek's going to lead us as we sing this song and make it our testimony of faith today.